Coach would always ask his team, all right, where else would you rather be than right here? Well, somebody knows that, right? Thelma, you like my coach? Is it? Where else would you rather be than right here, right now? You have come to the right place. You believe that? All right, I'm getting some love. I'm getting some love, even if it's from the back of the room. You are here. It's not by accident. You know, you may have had a whale of a week, or a whale of a month, or so far a whale of a year. Maybe a whale of a decade, you know. But you are here by divine appointment. And in the next 4 weeks, I mean, this is just the beginning of the four-week part that I believe can truly change your life. And I'm not trying to hype it up or if you believe the word of God, if you believe in the power of God, I believe that if you take what you learn in the next 4 weeks, your life is going to change. Now listen. Your life changes at times, and the circumstances sometimes take some time to catch up with it, right? But the first step is changing inside, changing on the inside. It always amuses me, you know, of people who have never worked out, you know, like for forever, right? And they've put on the weight, and they eat terribly, and they don't exercise, and they don't take care of themselves, and then they want a pill to solve their problems. You haven't met people like that, right? Yeah, I know you have, right? I mean, they want the 15 and 20 years of inactivity and bad eating to be taken care in one pill, or maybe two at most, right? No, okay, let's give them two. It doesn't work like that, right? You have to make a conscious decision. Okay, I want to change. Right? You made up your mind, and then that making up of your mind, you did some actions with it that caused you to change. For me, it was a few years ago. I took a pill. You know, I love taking pictures and family pictures, and there's a family picture that we took, and I looked at it afterwards, and I saw myself in the picture, and I said, oh, no, 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 this cannot be anymore. And so, you know, usually people make New Year's resolution, like, you know, a week or two before the New Year. Well, at that particular moment, I made up my mind. And Carmen and I were driving, and we drove by, there was a grand opening of a health fitness place here in town. And I stopped by, I mean, on the side of the road right there. I mean, right there and then. And I said, sign me up. I'm not waiting till the first of the year. Right now. Right here, right now. And that's what you have to do. You have to make up your mind once and for all of what it is that you are going to be for the Lord, and then just go for it. Now, some of you maybe say, I'm not sold on it. I don't believe it. Pastor, you don't understand my problems. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how difficult this situation has become. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter how difficult your situation is. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. It doesn't matter what you're going through now. God wants to change that in your life. I want you to pray with me for a moment. Jesus, you said to your disciples that we were to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and with all of our mind. And that's what we want to do. Lord, as we speak this morning about the power of thoughts and changing our thoughts and changing our mind, I pray that we would be transformed, that we would be renewed, that we would be reinvigorated, Lord, to do that which you have called us to, that we may believe in your power, and that our actions, Lord, would be a reflection of that belief. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Listen to these words found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "And do not be conformed any longer to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Say, renewing of your mind. "That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Thoughts are powerful, my friends. Thoughts are powerful. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Thoughts can make or break you. If you have good thinking patterns, you have a shot. If you have awful thinking patterns, you're done. That's why Jesus said you have to love the Lord your God, and included the mind. It wasn't just a spiritual exercise or spiritual calisthenics. It is the renewing of the one organ that we use to base all of our decisions. Now, I know that some people say, "No, I base my decisions on, you know, have you heard on gut, on, you know, my gut is telling me this." Usually, you know, that gut is probably indigestion or something, right? I mean, because good decisions are made when you have thought them through. Thoughts are powerful. You've probably heard this, this quote before by Henry Ford. It says, "If you think you can, or you think you can't, you're right." Think about that. If you think you can, and if you think you can't, you are right. The proverb says this: "As a man thinks in his heart, so he is." As you think in your heart, as you think, as you meditate, battles are won or lost all up there in the mind. We're studying the book of David. And, you know, here we have a great army, the army of God. God said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to be there." And they're facing the Philistines, and they see this giant, right? They see this big person in front of them, challenging them in the name of their God, saying, come take a piece of this. And they couldn't. They lost it right here. And you know what? There's a lot of toxic and negative thinking going around these days. All you have to do is turn the television set on, right? It always baffles me how it is that we can watch the news at 11 o'clock and then go to sleep. How is it that we do that, right? Have you ever heard a newscast at 11 o'clock at night before you go to bed of good news? No. What is it that you hear right before you go to sleep? You hear all the murders and the robberies, and of course, you know what's on everybody's mind these days, the economic meltdown and how people are losing their jobs and losing their homes. It's just terrible to go to sleep after having all that negative image in your minds. And you start to think about that, right? You start saying, "Well, wait a minute, maybe it is true." A lot of experts are saying, look, there's the economy, it is in bad shape. However, a lot of it has to do with people's attitudes about it. No, easier said than done, right? When you're the one who's facing difficulties. But it has to do with how people think sometimes about it. Oh, my goodness. Things are getting tough. Things are getting rough. Oh my goodness, and people live in fear, and it becomes a pattern of thinking, a pattern of a way of life. Here, there's a couple of patterns that I want to see if you see yourself in any of these, okay? Because I know that, you know, as I'm going through them, I've fallen in some of these thinking patterns. Number one, the life stinks thinking pattern. Have you ever heard that before? Is that one that you have to fill out there? The life stinks thinking pattern. Now, I know it's nobody here at PCC today. We don't think that way. But let me unravel that a little bit more. You know, those are people that think, you know, everything is bad. Nobody can be trusted. Nothing good will ever come out of my situation. It never does, and it never will. You know how they say you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning 3 times before you become a very successful person? Well, I'm there. I'm one of those. Life just really stinks. I won't get that job. I won't get that promotion. And so you're sitting there before an interview and you're already thinking to yourself, oh, there's just no way I'm going to do it. I don't even know why I'm taking this interview, but here I go. Que será, será, right? The people start speaking Spanish and they don't even know what, you know. Right? Life stinks and you go in there to the interview and you bomb it and then you say, you see? I told you, they're telling themselves, I told you, you weren't going to do good. My attitude has always been, just give me a chance. Give me a chance to talk to somebody. Give me a chance to talk to somebody. That's the kind of, you know, you can't be, oh, life stinks. If life stinks and you think to yourself, life stinks for you, guess what? It really stinks. That's one thinking pattern. How about the other one? The jumping to conclusions thinking pattern. Oh, nobody here jumps to conclusions, right? No. You know, you tend to make a lot of conclusions without any evidence. Right? And so that headache you feel, all of a sudden you say, oh, it might be a tumor. Right? You start thinking, you know, oh my goodness, you know, how am I? You jump to conclusions. You have no evidence. You have no evidence to support your thinking pattern, yet you jump to conclusions all the time. You know, your spouse may have had a rough day. And, you know, there's some interaction, you think, well, now, it's just giving me attitudes, right? And that just snowballs after a while. Or how about the jealous types, right? You know, you had a conversation with a member of the opposite sex. Oh my goodness, my spouse wants to leave me. You know. Jumping the gun, jumping to conclusions. And we do that all the time. How about this one? Nothing good ever happens to me, thinking pattern. Nothing good ever happens to me, thinking pattern. This is when you think that nothing good ever happens to you. You know, you look at yourself and you start judging yourself by you know, maybe what you see on television or by other people's standards, and you say, wait a minute, I fall way short. Nothing good happens to me. Nothing good happens to me. It's always the next person. It's always that individual. It's always the people who who do this. It's always the people who live there. It's always the people who look like this. I mean, nothing good ever happens to me. Everything just bombs. And this is a deep-seated way of thinking that just immobilizes you to do anything else. Because if you go into a venture, if you go into a situation thinking, well, nothing good is going to ever come out of this, then guess what? You paralyze yourself. And the opportunity that would have been there for you and for me, it would never happen. Am I speaking to somebody here this morning? Is this making any sense to anybody? Now, I want to prove to you that all of these thinking patterns are the thinking patterns of this world, which Paul says, don't do that. Don't subscribe to that. Don't sign up for that. Reverse the way you think. Or how about this thinking pattern? How about the negative psychic thinking pattern? Well, you're saying, oh my goodness, what do you mean to say negative psychic? Oh, it's when I think and I look at you and you probably didn't look at me the right way and I'm thinking, I know what that person's thinking about me. Right? You've become a psychic, right? Oh, well, wait a minute. I know that person is talking behind my back. I just know that the supervisor, my supervisor is going to pass me up for, I just know what he's thinking. I know. Are there any negative psychic thinkers here? No? Listen, the minute you start playing, oh, I know what this person's thinking, you know, you're going down the wrong path, okay? Just put on the brakes, all right? Just stop for a second and just, you know, reevaluate your life right there and then, okay? If you start just playing with your own mind saying, well, I know what this, you have no idea what the other person's thinking. Even those people that have been married for a long, long time and they think that they can finish each other's thoughts, half the time that you're finishing your spouse's thoughts are wrong. They just never tell you. Right? That's what you were going to say. Yes, honey, that's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, he just read my mind. My baby doesn't do that, and I don't do that to my baby, right? We don't, no. We don't finish each other's thoughts, right? We text each other. Okay, this is what I'm thinking. The negative psychic. There's no psychic people here. In fact, you know, that's not a biblical thing to do anyway. So if you think you can read somebody's mind, oh, you got to move from there. How about this negative thinking pattern? Maybe. Thinking pattern. This is a person that knows what they have to do to change. You know, they've come to the realization, okay, this is exactly what I need to do to change. But, maybe there's another way and I don't have to change. They're capable of changing. They know what they have to do to change. It's there. It's so clear. They can see it. It's as clear as the sun. But they always self-defeat themselves and say, well, maybe tomorrow. You know, I know that I have to exercise, you know, because it's going to prolong my life. It's going to bring me health. I'm going to live better. I'm going to, you know I have to eat right. But how about if I start in the beginning of the year? Buddy, it's March. All right? You just missed the beginning of the year. You mean next year? Oh, well, how about, you know, Reggie's not here, so I'm going to pick on him a little bit, okay? Reggie's a great kid. I love all my kids. They're a great gift of God to me. Being a parent as young as Carmen and I are and having kids who are just about ready to go to college, it's really interesting, to say the least. And so So Reggie is a very smart kid, but he tends to be on the you know when he's not challenged, he's kind of lazy, right? Any parents with lazy kids here? No, it's probably ours. And so Reggie, you know, we made a move in the second year of high school, which was a tough transition, and you know, so his GPA was not as strong. I mean, it wasn't like really like bombing, but it wasn't as strong as it needed to be to really get to apply to a good college. And so you know, I'm talking to Reggie, and really, you know, as a good dad would, you know, just giving him good advice, and we came to a crossroads, and I was doing some research because I know what he wanted, you know, some of the things he wanted to do, and I said, son, I just found, you know, something in the area which you may want to, you know, you may just want to try and apply. And as soon as I told him that, he said, well, Dad, I have kids, friends of mine, who have way higher GPAs and way higher scores, and they've been deferred. They have not been accepted. You know, it's the, well, I know that I should, but it's not going to happen, so why bother? And I said, you know what? You never know. And, you know, if the worst thing that could happen is that you get that letter, you know, that you've been deferred, and I just blew $35. No big deal, right? Okay. Application went in. 3 weeks later, letter came back to us saying, congratulations. Congratulations. It's funny because, you know, I get home, you know, Carmen and I get home, and we were going through the mail, and we see this blue packet, right? And it says, you know, it's from Florida International University, and it says Reggie, and he thought it was for me. Oh, we know how that likes all the studying stuff, you know. So he thought it was for me. I said, Reg, that may be your stuff. It says congratulations on the... All right. Anyway, but maybe. Don't do that. That's why the Bible says, you know, let it be yes or no. Anything else in the, maybe. No, that's why the Bible calls it. It actually calls it a sin. Let it be yes or no, no wavering in between. How about this next one? The stinking thinking pattern, right? Your emotions control what you're thinking, and therefore your vision of reality changes. How about this one? It is my fault, thinking pattern. You see yourself as a cause of everything that goes wrong in your life. Never mind, you know, the economy and other factors that play into stuff that happens to people. Or how about this one? It's probably one of the worst ones. It's not my fault thinking pattern. It's your fault thinking pattern. When you blame everybody else, but you never take personal responsibility, right? Nobody here like that. Nobody here. This is only for people who are going to be listening to this on the internet, all right? Well, the bottom line is this. The bottom line is that all this kind of thinking hurts you. They become almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You've heard that term before, right? The recipe that the Bible gives is this. Paul speaking says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed. The word conformed there, it means that you take somebody's pattern, that you fashion yourself according to something else. Let me give you an example. The world is in turmoil right now. The economy is in shambles right now. And everybody from politicians to business people to everybody go in front of television cameras and say, this is a terrible thing. We're doomed. And then you start hearing Christians saying the same thing. as though their source was found in Wall Street. Right? Never mind God, and that we are God's children. And if we read any kind of biblical history, we would see patterns where there was famine in the land, where there was pestilence in the land, where there was all these different things happening all around. But the children of Israel, most of the time, I mean, sometimes they align themselves to the pattern of the world and they suffer the same consequences. But when they align themselves with God, nothing touched them. Do not pattern yourself. Don't do that. Don't fashion yourself to the pattern of this world. Now, this world, right? Sometimes if we go to the next one, to this world, people think, well, it's the cosmos, right? Well, we're of this world, but not of this world. Have you heard that before? Can we go to the next one? We're of this world, but not of this world. But in all reality, you know what the world there means? It's not cosmos. It's aeon, which means age of or period of time. Now think about this, okay? Paul is telling his hearers and telling us here today, listen, don't conform to this period of time. To this moment in time. Because God doesn't operate that way. For us as the children of God, we have to look at the whole deal. You know? And if you study Scripture, if you allow Scripture to minister to you, if you allow God to speak into your life, then you'll see that God has said that He's going to be always there with you. He's the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He's the same tomorrow. There's no changing in God and God's love for His children. And so we're in this sliver of time. Things might be going up in smoke. For the children of God, they're saying, no, my place, my foundation, my high tower, my rock, my support is not found in this sliver of time. It's found in the God who created all time. That's the difference. Do you see how your mind begins changing a little bit when you take a step back out of that mess and you say, wait a minute, no, that's not what the Bible's telling me. In fact, the Bible tells me that 1,000 will fall at my right hand and 10,000 will fall at my left hand, and they will not even touch my shoelaces. That when the enemy comes towards me like a wave, the Spirit of God is there to say, wait a minute, hold it, not my children. Amen. That it's in these moments of turmoil and confusion that God wants to shine through all of us so that we become part of the solution and not part of the problem. Because imagine if the world loses hope and the church is not there to bring hope, to bring a different perspective, to bring and shine a different light, then what are we? I know it's tough. I know it is. I know there's fear. I know there's tough realities that sometimes we face. I know that. But God is telling us this morning, don't be like the world. Don't fall in the trap of the system. Don't be quick to say amen to what's going on all around you. Oh, there's tough times. Amen to that. Oh, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. Oh, amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. Yes, 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 yes. Don't do that. Don't be conformed, you know, like this pattern here. That's what it means. Don't take a pattern like the world, but instead do this. Be transformed. I love the movie Transformers. Well, actually, I didn't like the movie Transformers. I love the cartoons when it came out. I owned a lot of Transformers, right? Right, and it went from one thing to another. That's what it means. Become Transformers. That's kind of cool. I got, it means to change into another form. To be transfigured. It is the same word that it was used there when Jesus was up in the mountain praying. Remember that passage in Scripture? And the Bible says that he was what? He was transfigured. That is the same word. It refers to a permanent state to which change takes place in contrast to the world and the system that is all around you. It means that you have to take that determination. You have to make that determination. You have to take that step. Notice that it didn't say there, do not be patterned or do not conform to this world, but let God transform you. It doesn't say that. Right? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, oh, brothers and sisters in God, let the Holy Spirit Almighty come in you and transform you. No. It says, you transform. What? What? It's God. No, God has given you his tool of transformation already. And if you read it, it says, look, this is my pattern. These are my standards. You're either going to take the book and the guide and the instructions and follow them, or you're not. It's your choice. It's not God's choice anymore. God has just put the plan all right there in front of you. So just follow it. Right? That's what he told the children of Israel when they were when they left Egypt. It should have taken them 42 days from there to the promised land. You know how long it took them? 40 years. Why? Because God said, follow me. It's tough. Yes, you're in the wilderness. You're going through, but I'm going to feed you. Don't worry about that. I'm going to give you water. I'm going to give you shade. I'm going to give you heat. Your shoes are not going to wear off. Your clothing is not going to... You're going to go through the desert, yes. But don't... Look. Just think about it this way. It's just a road trip. God did some miraculous things. They saw it with their own eyes. They experienced. They lived it. They went through it. But then they started thinking, maybe there's a better way. And the minute they start thinking to themselves, there is a better way, and they start rebelling against God's way and God's way of doing things, the minute they start thinking, okay, there's a better way, it's the minute they started walking around in circles. 40 years. That whole generation had to perish. Do you want to wander around in your blessing, not being able to fulfill your destiny and what God has called you to do because you choose not to conform and transform your life into what God has called you to? Or are you going to obey once and for all and just go for it? wow, I got quiet here all of a sudden. So be transformed. Be a transformer. Transform yourself. Transform your attitude. Transform your thinking patterns. Transform your way of doing things by this, by the renewing. By the renewing, renewal, renovation, complete change for something better. You know, this term, renewing, appears only one other time in Scripture. That's how unique this word is. You can read it in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Renewing. Some people need renewal this morning. Some people need to renew their lives and their minds this morning. Some people, look, it's not about your outward circumstances. It's all about what's in here. What's going on out here is a reflection of what's going on in here. Renewing. What happens when you don't renew something? It expires. You know how many people are walking around with expiration dates written all over their faces? They've expired so long ago. Man, take them off the shelf, all right? Listen. It sounds funny, right? I mean, it is. But that's what Jesus said when he told his followers, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Right? That's what he said. You are. But it says this, if the salt loses its saltiness, if it expires, it's worthless. It should be what? Thrown out, trampled by men. There's a lot of Christians, a lot of people, and I'm talking to Christians because, you know, it's the majority of the people who are here. There's a lot of us that the world and the enemy and the devil and the system and everything around is just trampling all over us because we've expired. Renewing, regeneration. We have to, that's why the Bible says that, you know, new are his mercies every morning. We have to hang on to that every single day. There's so many of us living off, you know, the blessings that we got 15 years ago. Yeah, if I could go back to the walking in the wilderness deal, do you remember that God would feed them every day, right? Not fail. But what was God's instruction to the children of Israel? Don't store anything. No, because that's our, praise God, God gave us. But how about if he doesn't pull, how about if God doesn't deliver tomorrow? Right? Oh, yes, look at all this wonderful, what a feast. Let me take a little bit more for tomorrow. Right? And the Lord says, don't do it, because the minute you do that, when you go and try to eat it, it's going to be rotten. It's going to stink, and there's a lot of people like that. That their way of thinking and their operation, I mean, they don't rely on God. They rely on, and so they become nothing but a mess. Renew yourself. Renew your mind. Gears, I'm going to give you a few things for you to be able to transform your mind and renew your mind and start thinking differently, hopefully. Number one, you have to recognize that you're in that situation. You gotta, you know, that's That's probably the best thing about your thoughts. You know what you're thinking. And you can stop yourself. You know, you can stop yourself. Okay, so you gotta recognize. No, I can't go in that direction. No, you know, it's like if you were taking care of your physical body and you're about to reach for that, you know, for that sixth slice of pizza, right? I gotta stop myself, right? Recognize. And then you have to reset. I love reset buttons, right? Do you love reset buttons? You know, because stuff sometimes is haywire and all just like all tangled up. And you take, you know, I do that to my BlackBerry sometimes. You know, it doesn't have a reset button, but sometimes it goes crazy. And so I open the back and I just do this. Voila. Reset. Now it's going to start working. I hope it starts working again. Good. But now it's going to do what it's supposed to do. Now I'll be able to get my email and Marlon's texts, and I'll be able to follow Facebook, and I'll be able to do all of that. Reset. Reset. When you reset your life, then you can start again. The next thing is this. You got to restart. There's a lot of people that reset, but they don't start again. Did I put? All right, it's the same thing. Reestablish. A little. Right, but you have to redirect. I mean, don't just reset. Right, recognize, reset, and then stay there. No. Reestablish yourself. Restart towards something where you're supposed to go. Next, you are to retain. Once you've started in the right direction, keep it. Because the tendency is that you start walking in that direction, right? And then you lose it. You remember the children of Israel. There's a lot of stuff that we can learn from the children of Israel. God would do something great, right? Until they hit the next speed bump, and then they would what? They would say, "Oh, we had it so good in Egypt. We had graves in Egypt, and now we're gonna be scattered out here. We're not even gonna have graves out here, right?" That was like basically what I'm paraphrasing what the word says, right? That's exactly what they did. You have to retain it. Don't lose ground. You've made progress. Retain it. And walk some more. And then you have to reinforce it. Reinforce it. Reinforce it means that you're always growing. You're always learning. You're saying, "Look, brother, I was struggling with this, right? But praise be to God, I was able to change my mind and change my thoughts, and now I'm moving in this direction. Would you help me, holding me accountable? Would you hold me accountable? So I can get stronger in that aspect. You know, I'm thinking about opening this business, and God has made a way, and I have a great idea, and you know, I've saved some money, and I think, you know, now it's the time for me to do this. Would you hold me accountable to make sure that, you know, I don't lose heart when times are tough?" So you reinforce. Recognize, retrain, reset, reestablish, retain, and reinforce. Does this make any sense? So I don't want you, I mean, I'm going to stop you. If I hear any negative talk from you, like saying, "Well, I'm going to stop you," and say, "No, you're not. You're a child of the Almighty God." Amen. Amen. I don't want it. Amen. All right? Now, we got to do that in love, of course. I don't want, you know, don't take that as a license to, like, you know, trample over people, right? No, you got to challenge you. Say, "Wait a minute. No. Somebody sent me a message on Facebook, and this person, you know, had some difficult times. I mean, difficult times. Almost lost the business. You know, God provided a job And this person took it with all heart and went for it, and it's doing quite well. But this person, you know, we had to send them the receipts of their contributions to the ministry, and so we did that. We sent them, and this person responded back and said, "Look, I know that what I was able to give was not as strong, but like you always said, it's already done." It's gonna be a better time. It's gonna be a better day. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you changing, and it doesn't matter what you're going through, you're in your situation, you're saying, no, I'm believing God, who's above and beyond all of this. Would you close your eyes with me? And I want you to, as a sign of faith, I want you to take your hands, and I want you to put them on the temple of your head, signifying your mind. And I'm going to say a quick prayer, and I want you to really believe that God is going to transform you. Lord, you've called us to love you with all of our mind, to be transformed, to not be conformed to what comes through our eyes and is processed in our brain, that we hear with our ears and we see all around us and we perceive, and then we start believing that. And God, what you've asked of us is that we would not believe in that what we see, but in that which we cannot see. That is faith, Lord. And so I pray that you would renew our minds this day, that you would help us and give us the strength to believe in your word, to change our thinking patterns, to change our habits, which at times are bad habits, Lord, and that we would take another direction, the direction in which we take your word and we say, yes, I believe. I believe in what you've said. I believe in what you've done. I believe that if you did it in the past, you will do it in the present, and you will do it tomorrow. That you have been faithful in generations past, and you will be faithful to this generation and in the generations to come. That you've promised that you will be with us, and that you would bless us and bless our children and our children's children, even to the fourth and fifth generation of those who fear you. And Lord, we believe this morning. We believe that you'll do it. And all God's children said.
In Isaiah 40, verse 31, which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, this song simply talks about that. We say that when we commit to the Lord and we put our faith and we put our hope and our trust into the Lord, He'll take over, He'll transform our minds. It goes on to say, look, man, we can rise up with wings like eagles. We can walk and not be weary. We can run. We can run and not faint. As we sing this song in closing, I want you to think about that. When you think about